And listeners, good morning. Welcome to Monday Sports Roundup this Monday, the 7th day of September. Have our weekly wrap shortly, but at 10 a.m. this morning, we're going to be talking live with Steve Adams, the President Secretary of the Caboolture Cricket Club, about the new Cricket Development Centre at Grant Road. Only received the keys on Friday to gain access to that. It's absolutely mind-blowing, listeners. And we'll talk live with Steve Adams just after 10 o'clock today. All that and more on 101.5 FM Sports. But let's start our program with sports headlines across Australia this Monday morning, the 7th of September. The Courier-Mail in Brisbane, the Herald Sun in Melbourne, the Advertiser in Adelaide and the Mercury in Hobart, all the same. AFL breach set to cost Perth international cricket. The Daily Telegraph in Sydney, $1.6 million worth of Tigers duo abandoned the team at half-time as Josh Reynolds and Russell Packer left the game, saying it was too cold. Whizzes. The Northern Territory News in Darwin, Roach's mate to play at Waratah in an emotional NTFL opener under lights against Palmerston on the 2nd of October. The Canberra Times and the ACT, Raiders wait anxiously for Josh Papali's scan results. And the West Australian in Perth, fever firm as competition favourites in the Super Netball competition. Listeners, we'll start our weekly wrap, and probably the biggest story on the news headlines this morning, though, is that Novak Djokovic in tennis, he's been disqualified after hitting a Lions woman with a tennis ball. Bizarre end for the champion, and looks as if we will have a new champion in the men's tennis for the first time in 6 years. We're going to hear more about that, no doubt. Big headlines, Novak Djokovic disqualified after hitting a lineswoman with a ball. Rest of the news in the US Open tennis, Aussie Jordan Thompson. Well, he's into the fourth round against Croatian Borna Koric, while compatriot Alex de Minaur will play Canadian Vasek Popasil. Probably worth $250,000 to them there in that result. No Aussies left in the women's singles, men's or women's doubles, the draw for the men's and women's wheelchair being done at the moment. And further controversy, the women's top doubles pair, they were withdrawn from the tournament due to possible exposure to coronavirus. So all happening over there in New York. In motorsports, well, the supercars, Shane Van Gisbergen scored a memorable victory in the final race of the Townsville Super Sprint from 12th on the grid, with Jamie Wincup second and Scott McLaughlin third. Off to the bend in South Australia for the next round, McLaughlin leads the table by 143 points from Jamie Wincup. In the Formula One, well, Pierre Gasly secured a maiden Formula One triumph when he won a tumultuous Italian Grand Prix after crashes, penalties and safety cars had tipped expectations upside down at Monza. The first French race winner in 24 years seized his opportunity and resisted late pressure from Carlos Sainz to claim his team's second victory, with Lance Stroll finishing third. Pole sitter Lewis Hamilton was on his way to a comfortable win before a 10-second stop-go penalty for taking a pit stop when the pit lane was closed pushed the Mercedes world champion to the back of the pack. The six-time champion eventually ended up in seventh place. Aussie Daniel Ricciardo finished sixth. Despite the penalty, Hamilton still managed to extend his run to 41 successive points finishes and has a 47-point lead over Valtteri Bottas in the championship. In cycling, well, the Tour de France, it's a rest day after nine stages, and Aussie Caleb Ewan is in eighth spot overall, so good luck when that resumes tomorrow. Short break, listeners, and we'll come back and we'll talk all things cricket with what happened over there in the UK on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. Weekly Wrap continues, listeners, and the men's tour of England has started with a series loss in the cricket to England in the best of the three T20s. The first was by 2 runs, and then last night an emphatic 6-wicket win at Southampton. Australia needed to bounce back in the second T20 international to keep the 3-match series alive, but their total of 7 for 157 was simply not enough in the face of Josh Butler's career-best 77, not out from 54. Which saw England home with 7 days to spare. The third game is on the 8th of September, and the first of the 3 one-day internationals at Old Trafford, they start on the 11th of September. Australian capped players, Usman Khawaja, Joe Burns, Matt Renshaw and Mitch Swepson, headline players who featured in the opening round of the Queensland Club Cricket competition on the weekend. Khawaja playing for Valleys, Burns for Northern Suburbs, Renshaw for Toombul and Swepson for Sandgate Redcliffe. Usman and Khawaja reckon he needed Google Maps to remember how to find his way to a club ground. Must have got there okay, because he scored 124. Sunshine Coast cricket competition. That starts next weekend. Looking forward to that immensely. In netball, well, round 10 of the Super Netball. And the top of the ladder, Melbourne Vixens, came back from a six-goal three-quarter time deficit to force a 63-all draw against the dangerous West Coast Fever. Fourth place West Coast led the competition pace setter for three quarters before Vixens ace Caitlin Thwaites threatened to break their hearts with a super shot inside the last minute. But with 13 seconds left, the Fever kept their heads and found Janelle Fowler, whose 59th point ensured the competition points were shared. So the draw ensured the Fever remain in fourth place. So good to see that result there. The Queensland Firebirds, well, they stunned the New South Wales Swifts, beating the reigning champions by 13 points. Queensland are supposedly in a rebuilding period, but look like they are ahead of schedule in their 77-64 win over the second place Swifts. The Adelaide Thunderbirds, they made a successful return to their home state with a solid 61-49 victory over the Collingwood Magpies that maintains their finals hopes. And a fourth consecutive final series beckons for the Sunshine Coast Lightning after clutch shooting from Steph Wood secured a thrilling 67-65 victory over the Giants yesterday afternoon. Wood kept her cool in the dying seconds to nail a game-winning super shot at the stadium to secure the Lightning's seventh win of the season and dent the Giants' top four ambitions in the process. Player of the match, Fuma Maiwini from the Sunshine Coast Lightning. Vixens head the ladder on 34, Swifts and Lightning 28, Fever on 22. Wednesday night, the Swifts will take on the Vixens and the Lightning will take on the Fever on the Sunshine Coast. And on Thursday, the Giants and Magpies will also play on the Sunshine Coast and the Firebirds will take on the Thunderbirds in Adelaide. In the NBA, plenty of action with the semi-finals, best of seven, the Eastern Conference. Miami lead Milwaukee 3-0 and Boston and Toronto 2-2. And the Western Conference, Houston Rockets lead the LA Lakers 1-0. And Denver and the LA Clippers won all. Some fantastic basketball being played there. Well, listeners, we'll go to our next break and we'll look forward to having Steve Adams join us here at 10 o'clock to talk all things about the new Cricket Development Centre down there at Moray Field. Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sport. Our weekly wrap continues, listeners, and we're talking rugby union now. And in Super Rugby, the Australian competition, round 9, it might not have had any bearing on the final standings, but the Queensland Reds have landed a psychological blow ahead of the knockout stages after they defeated the Brumbies 26-7 in Brisbane. The Brumbies, who progressed straight through to the final on September 19th in Canberra by finishing first, will now have 2 weeks to sweat over the defeat. They'll take on the winner of the Reds, who finished second, and the Rebels third, and who sealed their maiden Super Rugby finals berth by claiming a dramatic 34-30 win over the Western Force, which saw Dave Wessel's men climb ahead of the Waratahs on points differential. The Reds have the home ground advantage at Suncorp next Saturday night at 6:15pm. Now the Brumbies, they threw plenty at the Reds for the majority of the second half, but halfback Tate McDermott sealed the deal for the home side with a runaway try in the 76th minute as Bailey Kunzel spilt a high ball. Tight head prop Daniel Tupou was a standout for the Reds, while outside centre Jordan Pettier and Tate McDermott were both exceptional. Great win there for the Reds. Let's hope they can get over the top of the Rebels on Saturday night at Suncorp. Caboolture Rugby Union News. Well, all teams had a bye on the weekend. They commence the second half of the competition on the 12th of September. They take on Wynnum and Gympie on the road. Good luck to the Snakes. And in Premier Rugby, round 6, the men saw West defeat Sunnybank 38-31. East were too good for Norths. Bond defeated Souths. And University of Queensland defeated GPS 29-26. Four tries all. And they're now on top of the ladder by one from East and Bond. A tight tussle. And the women, Bond and Jeeps, both on 15 points, with Sunnybank third on 11. Plenty happening there in the rugby union. Short break, listeners, and we'll come back and we'll talk all things football here on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, we're talking football now in the Caboolture FC news. Well, in the men, the Premier League, they had a 6-1 loss to Albany Creek with Emerson Browning, the goal scorer. They'll take on St George Willawong at home next Saturday at 6pm. The reserves, they also suffered a loss to Albany Creek and they've slipped to 10th on the ladder. In the Women's League One, Caboolture lost 2-1 to Pine Hills. Kayla Carlo, the goal scorer for Caboolture. The reserves, they had a 1-0 loss but still top of the ladder from Kangaroo Point. Well, the English Premier League all starts next weekend with the 2021 season kicking off. On Saturday, Fulham up against Arsenal. Sunday, Crystal Palace up against Southampton. West Ham United up against Newcastle. Liverpool up against New Boys Leeds. And West Bromwich Albion will take on Leicester. And just to show that nothing has changed due to the virus, the Wolves have signed Portuguese forward Fabio Silva from FC Porto for a club record fee of $65 million. Silva, he's only 18, has scored just 3 goals in his 24 appearances for Porto's first team. Gee, not a bad transfer fee there. And as we said, good to see that nothing's changed with the virus. $65 million. Can you believe that? Well, AFL, I suppose, listeners, this morning it's coming up towards 10 to 10. Kebabs, anyone? The manager of the suspended Richmond star, Sydney Stack, says his client will not be paying a portion of the fine handed down to the club after their breach. Stack and teammate Callum Coleman-Jones were both handed 10-match suspensions by the AFL for their involvement in a fight outside a Gold Coast strip club last week, as you do when you're playing footy. Along with the bans, Richmond was handed a $100,000 fine, and club CEO Brendan Gale said both Stack and Coleman-Jones would take responsibility and pay $75,000 of it between them. However, according to Stack's manager, the 21-year-old would not be footing the bill handed down from the AFL to Richmond, adding that a fine of $37,500 would exceed 50% of his client's annual income after tax for the 2020 season. Poor possum. Well, he shouldn't have been doing what he was doing, breaching the bubble, and he wouldn't be getting fined. AFL Players Association CEO Paul Marsh said that the two players had received the maximum penalty in terms of the 10-match suspension, and that forcing them to pay the fines would mean penalising them twice for one incident. Get real. Well, the AFL round 15. Brisbane remains in the top two after holding steady in the face of Collingwood's fast finish. It was the Lions' fourth straight victory and leaves them in prime position for a coveted top four spot. Jared Lyons' 27 disposals and 7 clearances was magnificent for the victors, as was young midfielder Jared Berry. 5 goals in the second quarter set up the win, and despite Brisbane's suffocating pressure, Collingwood did not relent, surging back from 26 points down midway through the third quarter to lose 42-34. Well, round 16, that will finish on Wednesday. The Lions, they'll take on the Gold Coast at the Gabba in the local derby. Should be a fantastic match. Looking forward to that immensely there. Wednesday night, Lions will take on the Gold Coast at the Gabba. Come on, the Lions. And talking about the Lions, well, the Moreton Bay Lions, they're finals bound, with 3 teams making their way through the business end of the season. So the men's reserves, they finished the season undefeated and took out the minor premiership with an emphatic win over the Hinterland Blues. Finishing on top of the ladder ensures the team a passage straight through to the preliminary final in 2 weeks' time. Win that and they earn a place in the grand final to be played at Sandgate on the 26th of September. The game on Saturday against the Blues was always one-way traffic, with the reserves running out easy winners 10-14-74 to 2-1-13. Best players for the Lions were Josh McKenna, Jet Roberts and John Waterman. Bluey Road kicked 3 goals, so fantastic result there for the Moreton Bay Lions in the reserve grade. And after our next break, listeners, we'll come back and we'll hear how the senior men's and women's team went in the local AFL competition from the Moreton Bay Lions. All that and more, 101.5 FM Sport. And listeners, don't forget, coming up after 10 o'clock, we'll be talking live and exclusive to Steve Adams from the Caboolture Cricket Club, all about the new cricket development centre there at Grant Road. Only received the keys last Friday. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And exclusive live interview with Steve, and a fantastic facility. And we'll talk and discuss everything that's been occurring with that. But before the break, listeners, we were talking AFL and the Moreton Bay Lions. Well, the reserve grade finals bound, and in the senior men's, their battle with the Hinterland Blues was an absolute classic. Between two sides fighting for plenty, the Lions were fighting for top spot and the minor premiership, while the Blues were fighting for their very lives to stay in the place for the finals. In the end, the Blues prevailed in a match that went right down to the wire, and with less than a minute to play, Jimmy Cullum took a mark for the Lions on the 50-metre line and set up for his shot on goal. A goal would have won it for the Lions, and everyone holding their breath. Jimmy let fly, but the ball drifted off target at the last second and went through for 1 point. Siren sounded, Blues were home by 3. The final score, Hinterland Blues 9-13-67 to the Moreton Bay Lions 9-10-64. The loss sees the Lions finishing the home and away season in second place, which still earns them a week off and passage straight through to a home preliminary final in 2 weeks' time. Now, last week, listeners, we reported that the Moreton Bay Lions Division 1 women's team, they needed to win on the weekend and for other results to go their way for them to make the finals. Well, the footy gods shone on the ladies on Saturday afternoon as they played their best game of the year to tear the Burleigh Bombers apart. The girls kicked the highest score of the season, 9-5-59, and kept the Bombers to a lowly 2 points for the entire game. So the girls fulfilled their end of the bargain. Now they needed Kedron to beat Robina to get a spot in the finals, and Kedron duly obliged, and because of their huge win, the Moreton Bay Lions girls actually finished with a better percentage than Morningside, seeing them end the home and away in fifth place, relegating Morningside to sixth. Bad luck, Morningside. So the girls, they play a knockout final against Kedron at Kedron next Saturday afternoon. All the best. For the Moreton Bay Lions Colts and their Division 2 women's season, well, they're over. Both teams lost on Saturday, with the Colts going down to Victoria Point 10-16-76 to 3-7-25, while the Division 2 girls went down to the Hinterland Blues 13-12-90 to zip. So congratulations to all of those teams during the season, and best of luck to the three teams that have made their way through to the final series, and we wish them all the very best over the next few weeks. And as Barry Allen said, hope to see a premiership cup or two come their way. Might be waiting for a while with Geelong anyway, but Barry, we'll leave that one alone. Well, listeners, Rugby League, the Sunshine Coast Rugby League, the junior competition, round 7. The boys under 18, well, there were wins to Kawana, Caboolture 14-12 over Coolum, and Noosa over Beerwa. In the boys under 16s, well, Kawana defeated Maroochydore, Noosa over Gympie, the Bay 44-14 over Caloundra, and Caboolture over Coolum. In the girls under 16s, well, Caboolture still on top from Noosa Nambour after they defeated Gympie, while Kawana Beerwar, they defeated Noosa Nambour. In the boys under 15 Division 1, Caloundra on top on 28 points, Caboolture second on 25 points. So some tightly contested ladders there in the Sunshine Coast Junior Rugby League competition, and under 18s right down to the little tackers. Well, the Brisbane Rugby League A-grade, round 7. Valleys defeated Wynnum 32-24, Carina over Pine Rivers, West defeated Bulimba, and Brighton defeated Normandy 29-22. Next week's games, round 8, Saturday the 12th of September, Kitchener Park, Wynnum will take on Normandy. Emerson Park at 3 o'clock, Valleys will take on West, be a great game. 3 o'clock also, Leo Williams Oval, Carina and Bulimba, and at Matheson Oval at 4 p.m, Pine Rivers will take on Brighton. So some good matches coming up there in the Brisbane Rugby League A-grade, round 8 next Saturday. Well, the NRL women's clubs, they'll have less than 2 weeks to finalise their rosters for the 2020 competition after officially receiving contracts for players to sign this week. Interesting to see how the clubs will pan out there. And in the English Super League, round 11, Warrington, well, they defeated Hull FC, 37-12. St Helens, too strong for Huddersfield, 54-6. Castleford, 37, defeated Salford, 30. And in a major surprise, Greg Minikin's hat-trick helped bottom side placed Hull KR stun Super League leaders Wigan with a superb display to win 34-18. This pushed Wigan down to third spot on the ladder. They were leading the competition before the round started, round 11 started on the weekend, but that surprise loss to the Hull KR side has seen them slip to third. Superb display there. Greg Minikin's hat-trick, 34-18. Hull KR stunning Super League leaders Wigan. Fantastic result there, and most unexpected. Well, NRL round 17, listeners, and we'll just have a brief mention of that before we go to our weather break at 10 o'clock. But don't forget, after that, we'll be talking live and exclusive with Steve Adams, the President Secretary of the Caboolture Cricket Club, all about their new cricket development centre down there at Morayfield. So, listeners, we'll go to the weather. And after that, we're just getting Steve online. It's going to be fantastic to talk with him about the centre and the background and what it's going to be used for, all that and more, Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sport. And listeners, it's an absolute pleasure to have Steve Adams, the President Secretary of the Caboolture Cricket Club, joining us live online, because the new Cricket Development Centre down there at the Snake Pit at Moray Field, part of the $5 million community facility on Grant Road. Good morning, Steve, and all I can say to you is, wow.
Yeah, good morning, Gordon. Well, you've witnessed it firsthand this morning, and Wow's right. It's certainly something that our club is really, really proud of.
It's an absolute fantastic complex down there, and as we said, we had an inspection down there at 8 o'clock this morning. You only got the keys last Friday. So, Steve, I suppose the Cricket Development Centre, what does it comprise? I notice it's air-conditioned, there's state-of-the-art sight screens. It's, I suppose, able to be used by male, female, boys and girls from 5 to 105.
Yeah, that's right. Age is no barrier, that's for sure. Club members, that's what it's all about. It's their facility. It's a development centre, Gordon, to develop the skills of playing outdoor cricket. Make it quite clear, it's got nothing to do with indoor cricket. It's just an all-weather facility. I don't know how many years now we've organised training events, only to see them washed out in our subtropical weather. Coming into summer and spring, and so you know, we about 6 years ago we decided we need an indoor facility to make sure that we can get through our training sessions, and this is it.
It's certainly a fantastic centre, as we said, state of the art, and it's got some side screens outdoor as well. It's air conditioned. 6 years in the making, as you've said, and the funding for that. Apart from the Caboolture, Cricket Club, the Sports Club Group, the Moreton Bay Regional Council, Federal, State and Queensland Cricket, it's an absolute wonderful example of a partnership that designed to benefit the community.
Yes, that's right. During the day, the facility will be open to the Moray Field or the Grant Road community groups, such as yoga and U3A, they'll come in and use the facility for as an extra space. So yes, it's going to benefit them. But mainly our cricket club members. We are also attracting underage Queensland state teams to come in and use the facility. And when I say the facility, not just the indoor centre, the actual two fields there with the turf wickets. We've expanded our wicket block to accommodate the extra attention it will get. So yeah, mate, it's fabulous. The indoor part of it is state of the art, gabba grass, artificial decks. They are set up to react exactly like a turf wicket. That's their design. There are also two change rooms down there, unisex change rooms, so we can accommodate men and women. Fabulous. Just, I can't speak highly enough of the builders. And while I'm on air, I'd like to thank personally Terry Young, Mark Ryan, Adam Hain from Moreton Bay Regional Council, and of course, Kel Patch and Gil Stewart, Tony Clark from the Caboolture Sports Club.
It's certainly a wonderful part. It certainly couldn't have done it without all of those people, Steve. Steve, we'll go to a short break, and after the break we'll talk about some of the construction and the intended use for the future here on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sport. And listeners, we're talking live and exclusive to Steve Adams, the President Secretary of the Caboolture Cricket Club, and of course the new Cricket Development Centre down there at Grant Road. And as we said just prior to the break, Steve, there was an extensive tender process and consultation. Master plans needed to be developed. It's been 6 years in the making and a lot of support from a lot of different people. But as Kel Patch, as we met with him this morning, he said it's the best cricket facility north of Allan Border Field at Albion, and that's a pretty good comment.
Yeah, we'd like to think it is, Gordon. A lot of work goes in down there. It's virtually a 7-day-a-week job for mugs like myself, but it's you know, it's out there for all the punters. It's we want them to enjoy the best facilities and therefore take their cricket to the next level. It's certainly not a place where you play indoor cricket. This is purely and simply a training facility where we can video, we can do personal coaching, we can go upstairs and analyse that coaching, that video, and find out, you know, where we can detect errors in their play and correct them and take them to the next level. We want to see more kids, just like Luke Feldman, who's come out of our club, go on and Nathan McSweeney, go on and represent their state, represent their country. This is what it's all about.
Exactly right, Stephen. You also have a focus on girls and women as well?
We do. Big focus. 53% of our population, and Sunshine Cricket has done very little to tap into the market. There are thousands and thousands of girls in our Moreton Bay area who have a desire to play cricket. Here's their opportunity. It's a big part of our strategic plan is to increase the two teams we have at the moment into at least 10 over the next 2 years. We've got to grow the girls' game and get that side of our community involved in cricket.
Yes, it certainly is a very strategic direction there. And at the end of the day, Steve, it's a fantastic outcome also for the Caboolture Sports Club Group. The first partnership between the Moreton Bay Regional Council and the club, a series of other developments in the future over the next 5 years. But as Kel Patch indicated, it will enable cricket players, local players, to progress to Premier Cricket within or on their very own doorstep. That's an important consideration, Steve. And I suppose, how realistic is that ambition for local players not have to travel and they can play Premier Cricket on their own doorstep?
Well, it's a great opportunity. Of course, we need Queensland Cricket on side with that. The Premier grade group in Brisbane needs to approve a Moreton Bay team, and I'm quite sure that they will. They can see the future up here. As you pointed out this morning, Gordon, there's 70,000 homes projected into the area over the next 10 years. Those kids are going to, you know, come out of there, are going to want to play sport. Here's the best facility north of Albion, and that's the National Cricket Centre, which not everyone gets to use. Here, it's theirs. They register with the club. They can come and use it and advance their sport.
Exactly right. Well, congratulations, Steve, to all concerned. It's a wonderful example, as I said, of bringing a wide variety of community groups and users together for the betterment of all involved. And listeners, if you just want to pop down there, have a look at that incredible facility just along there on Grants Road. Have a look. And Steve, congratulations to you, the club, and everyone involved on the new Cricket Development Centre down there at the Snake Pit on Grant Road at Moray Field. Wonderful for the future. And thank you for joining us here on 101.5 FM Sport. Well, listeners, before we were talking there to Steve Adams from the Caboolture Cricket Club, we were talking all things rugby league. And, of course, the NRL Round 17 wrapped up on the weekend. Chad Townsend sent off for a shoulder charge on Kalyn Ponga, don't like his chances of playing again this season. Several Sharks players also on report for illegal tackles. An acting award for Titans player Tyrone Peachey, absolute Oscar there. And West Tigers players apparently said it was too cold for them to stay after halftime at Brookie, only on $800,000 a year. They probably went looking for an AFL kebab as well. Oh, I wonder if they did. Well, the Panthers, they did enough to defeat the Broncos 25-12 on Thursday night, making it 12 in a row. Penrith now on 31 points on the ladder, 5 clear of the Melbourne Storm in second position. Panthers halves Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary, along with hooker Appy Coruscant, proved decisive. A 22-4 halftime lead was Newcastle's reward for their best 40 minutes of the season, with Cronulla coach John Morris issuing a public apology to Cronulla fans for a game that went down the gurgler from the first whistle. They lost 38-10. Ponga, even with his broken nose, was outstanding with 3 tries. The Storm, they defeated the Rabbits 22-16 in a tight tussle. Craig Bellamy, the Storm coach, said the manner in which his side was able to claw their way back into the game after being placed under huge pressure in the opening 10 minutes was admirable. Ryan Pappenhausen helped set up the win, scoring 1 try and setting up 2 more in the 4-2 victory. The Titans, they clung on to defeat the Dogs 18-14 to make it their 6th win of the season. Justin Holbrook, underrated coach. The West Tigers, well, they claimed a stunning 34-32 comeback win over Manly with a late surge at Brookie on Saturday night. Down 20-6 midway through the first half, the Tigers scored 2 tries in the final 8 minutes to snatch victory. Winger David Nofaluma's hat-trick now has 17 for the season, 3 clear of the next best on the points try scoring leaderboard. As well as his tries, Adam Dooley's goal kicking was decisive as he landed 5 of 6 attempts. Shame Josh Reynolds and Russell Packer didn't see that out. Roosters coach Trent Robinson labelled Sonny Bill Williams' first 13-minute stint back in the NRL since 2014 a success after Premiers down Canberra 18-6 in a high-quality clash on Saturday night. James Tedesco scored twice in an all-too-familiar masterclass from the representative fullback as the Roosters strengthen their grip on a top-4 spot with the finals just a month away. The Raiders' night was also soured with Josh Papali failing to finish the game due to an AC joint shoulder injury that could see him sidelined. Big loss. The Eels, well, they breathed a sigh of relief after holding off their tricky opponents, the Warriors, 24-18 at Central Coast Stadium yesterday. And they were no doubt helped by what I consider to be a ludicrous sin binning of Warriors Jazz Taviga. Yes, he did lash out, but at the end of the day, he was provoked. But it was a spirited game, with the Warriors probably scoring the best try of the season. And the boot of Valentine Holmes and an overdue slice of luck earned interim Cowboys coach Josh Hennay his first NRL win against the Dragons as the club prepares to welcome Todd Payton as the new coach. North Queensland star fullback Holmes booted an 84th-minute field goal to secure a 23-22 victory in Golden Point, snapping a 9-match losing streak stretching back to June. St George Illawarra, well, they were left to rue a lack of execution in Ben Hunt's 250th match, bombing several tries before Corey Norman's long-range one-point attempt went wide in their only extra-time set. Mel Lucas will never take the Dragons again. And listeners, round 18 coming up next weekend or Thursday, the Tigers up against the Rabbits. On Friday night, the Dogs up against the Eagles and the Panthers up against the Eels. Saturday, the Dragons and Raiders, Titans, Broncos and the Roosters and the Knights. On Sunday, the Storm and Cowboys at the Sunshine Coast and the Sharks will take on the Warriors. Now, of course, the most important thing, though, is the competition ladder in the NRL, which has the Panthers first on 31, Storm second 28, Eels third 26, Roosters 4, 24 points, fifth spot Raiders 22, Knights sixth on 21, Rabbits 20 in seventh, and the Sharks 18 points in eighth spot. And you've got the West Tigers 9 and the Warriors 10th spot, both on 14 points. So mathematically, yes, they can still make the top 8. Will depend, I suppose, this weekend when the Warriors take on the Sharks, because Sharks win, it'll all be over for both the Tigers and the Warriors. And, of course, we have the Bulldogs languishing on the bottom there on 4 points. Broncos second last on 6 points. Well, interesting games coming up here on next weekend on the NRL, and you'll hear our exclusive preview with Greg Mack and McCallum in the Grapple on Thursday night between 6 and 6.30. All that and more Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sport. And listeners, we're into the home stretch. Monday Sports Roundup this 7th day of September in 1871. English cricketer George Hurst was born in Yorkshire. He played 24 test matches for England between 1897 and 1909, touring Australia twice. One of the best all-rounders of his time, he was a left-arm medium-fast bowler, right-hand batsman. He completed the double of 1,000 runs and 100 wickets in English cricket season, Test cricket, 14 times. 1871, C.J. Dennis, Australian journalist, poet and author of The Sentimental Bloke, was born at Auburn in South Australia. 1892, James Corbett KO'd John Sullivan in 21 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title in New Orleans. 1894, leading Australian sportsman of the 1920s and 30s, Victor Richardson, was born in South Australia, and what an outstanding sports person he was, captaining the Australian cricket team, South Australian Aussie Rules football team, representing Australia in baseball and South Australia in golf, winning the South Australian state tennis title and a leading local player in lacrosse, basketball and swimming. He was also grandfather to 3 future Australian test cricketers, Ian, Greg and Trevor Chappell. 1910, John Shea, USA, 500-metre, 115-metre speed skater, was born at Lake Placid. Shea, or the Chief, was an American double gold medalist at the 1932 Winter Olympics. 1923, retired American professional golfer, one of the founders of the LPGA Tour and thus modern ladies golf, Louise Suggs, was born in Atlanta. 1936, great singer and songwriter with the Crickets, Buddy Holly, was born in Texas. That'll be the day, it doesn't matter anymore. Gee whiz, incredible man, Buddy Holly. 1940, the German Air Force began the Blitz, an intensive bombing campaign on London in World War II. 1944, former England international rugby union player Peter Latta was born. 1949, US singer Gloria Gaynor was born in New Jersey. She had the 1979 single hit, I Will Survive. 1952, the US men's tennis open was won by Australian tennis great Frank Sedgman. 1953, Maureen Connolly became the first woman to achieve the Grand Slam of tennis when she beat Doris Hart to win the US women's singles after claiming the Australian, French and Wimbledon titles earlier in the same year. 1968, Jimmy Page, Robert Plant and John Paul Jones and John Bonham made their live debut as Led Zeppelin, but billed as the New Yardbirds at Teen Club in Glad's Axe, a suburb in Copenhagen. 1969 US Tennis Open Finals winners were dominated by Australians. Well done there. 1976, ABBA was at number one on the UK singles chart with Dancing Queen. 1979, Keith Moon, drummer with The Who, died of an overdose. And in 1984, Don Tallon, great Australian and a Queensland wicketkeeper, died at age 68. 1991, the US Women's Tennis Open, Monica Seles at age 17 defeated 34-year-old veteran Martina Navratilova. And in 1997, US Men's Tennis Open, Patrick Rafter beat Greg Radinsky, while Carrie Webb won the LPGA Golf Championship. Great day for the Aussies. Listeners, that brings us to the end of Monday Sports Roundup on this 7th day of September. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Steve Adams from the Caboolture Cricket Club. Look forward to your company for the grapple on Thursday night. Monday Sports Roundup, next Monday, 101.5 FM Sports.